This is CliffCentral.com.
Shut up and dance with me. I like it. That's what you should be doing on a Tuesday. What the hell else are you going to do? Come on. You're going to feel sorry for yourself? Sit there on a Tuesday and be bored? Be grumpy? You don't need that. The guest of honor this morning, I'm thrilled. My other mother is here in the studio with us. She has been a legend and an inspiration to many people across the continent of Africa, and she continues to wow us and the world, so much so that she's just returned from Los Angeles, where she received the Humanitarian Award at the BET Awards in LA. It's a huge achievement, and obviously just one of the many that Ma'ivonne Chaka Chaka has received in her career, her extraordinary career, and her lifetime. Here she is. Looking like the queen of Africa. How are you, Machaga?
I'm very good. And how are you?
I'm fine.
You know, I don't like getting up in the morning.
I know, but you said you'd do it for me. So I'm very appreciative.
No, tell them exactly what I said.
He said, I don't like waking up for stupid Gareth.
No, I would never call you stupid because stupid you're not. But silly Gareth. Yes.
How are you, Ma?
I'm fine, my darling. How are you?
I'm good. I saw Mantla the other day.
You did?
Yeah.
He's a big boy, isn't he?
He's big already. He's huge. I mean, yeah. I remember when he was a little kid. But I hear you and Temba are making music together.
Yes, me and Temba are making music. The single is going to be released on Friday.
Very good. Can we hear a little sneak peek of that maybe today?
Yes, where's everybody in the house? Keep looking at me.
You know Mabali?
Looking you remember at Mabali? Me. You Hello, remember? Mabali. How are you?
Hello, Ma. I'm fine. How
Very
are you?
Good. Oh, Mabali's just made me a nice cappuccino, at least at Cliff Central. They're not poor.
No. We make decent cappuccino with our Frontier coffee. So you tell me if you're happy, then I'll keep them coming.
Well, on the other side, you just drink red coffee.
Who's that? What's the other side? Other radio stations?
I can't.
And you know Sia?
Of course. These are all my children. Mm-hmm. These are all my children. This is very nice. I told you this was a place to be at.
Now, Mum.
This is a station for the future.
It is. And you are, really, I meant it earlier, you're an inspiration to a lot of people. How was the BET Awards?
The BET Awards were just amazing. And guess who was sitting in front of me?
Who? Beyonce.
No, what's this guy's name?
What does
the
he do?
The one who came to South Africa and he said he's happy he's not in Africa.
Who?
Oh, no.
Which one?
Bring my phone.
Who's
Busta
that?
Rhymes.
Oh, Busta Rhymes. Oh. So Busta Rhymes is sitting in front. Did you tap him on the shoulder and say, hey.
And let me
educate you.
And he said, what? I said, remember, he said you were in Africa and you're not in South Africa.
I don't remember him saying that. But did you see all the other stars? I heard that the big winners of the night were Beyonce.
No, Beyonce was not there.
She wasn't there?
No, Solange
was
there.
She just had the kids then.
Right. Solange was there.
Well, who cares about Solange?
Oh, she's such a pretty, pretty woman.
No, she's holding her own.
A beautiful soul. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience, a beautiful ceremony. It wasn't a problem as such. You see, they had two ceremonies. Okay, you're the only person now who knows about this. They had two ceremonies. They had one for the African artists and one for the Americans. Americans being Americans. You know?
Oh, so the one was probably televised and the other one wasn't.
Yes, but because I was there, they had to make sure that I'm on TV. Because I told
so you were at the American part of the awards.
You can't take me from South Africa and bring me to America. Oh. And but it was a great, great function. Thank you to Eva. Thank you to BET, you know, for even recognizing me. It was just a beautiful, beautiful atmosphere.
But Machaka, a lot of people already knew about a lot of the good work that you do. You have been working to fight malaria in Africa for years. I knew about this, where you would go around, you would supply mosquito nets, you would help people to fight malaria at every level. And this is something you've done quietly on your own for, 15 years?
12 years.
That's very impressive stuff. And you don't do that for kudos or because you try and impress people. You've been doing it because you really care. And all over this continent, there are lots and lots of people who are grateful to you for your efforts in this respect.
Well, I'm grateful to those who actually, you know, gave me a helping hand to be able to do this, because when I came back from Gabon and Phumzile died in 2004, my musician.
She used to sing and she used to play the music.
Yeah. When Phumzile died, it was a wake-up call for me. You know, when I realized that she died from malaria and she was misdiagnosed when she came back home, I did my own research, you know, and Tiny always said to me, Yvonne, you're a musician, not a doctor. I'm the doctor. I said, Chana, that's why you're a physician and I'm a musician. So, you know, so it rhymes. So, you know, I did my own research, Gareth, and I found that malaria was curable and preventable. And yet so many people were dying, pregnant women, children under five. It was just not good to hear such things.
Is it still the biggest killer?
You know, TB is now worldwide. TB is the biggest killer worldwide now. Malaria, the interventions for malaria are just simple.
Yeah.
Are quick as well. So people who know and live in those areas, they know exactly what to do. You know, sleeping under the net, allowing people to come and do indoor residual spraying, taking their prophylaxis on time, and so they know. With HIV, obviously, it's like long term. Mm. You have to have your antiretrovirals. With TB, other people have the one that is not, that resists medication.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the people who die from who have AIDS or have malaria, they will die from TB or things like that.
Yeah.
So it's those related sicknesses that they kill them. But it's just been amazing for me just traveling the world, doing interventions, doing advocacy, and just learning more. It's just been amazing. I could do it again.
Who are your major supporters in the Roll Back Malaria campaign? Who have been helpful to you in that respect?
I must say thank you to Results. Results is an organization in Washington. They met me 5 years ago and they've been watching everything that I've been doing, because I've just been doing this out of the love of it.
Mm.
When I go and perform or go and do things, I do that and I'll sing for my foundation, put in the money. Never have received any support or in South Africa from anybody. But in fact, I need to say thank you to MTN. They were the very first people to sponsor my foundation to do work in Limpopo. I worked with the Department of Health in Limpopo. We educated so many people. We trained lots of women. We trained people to do indoor residual spraying. We had books for malaria and things like that. And thank you to them. That was like 12 years ago.
I've seen videos. I remember you got an award a couple of years ago, and I was there, and it was from the UN.
Yes, the UN has awarded me several times. Thank you to them. You know, and working as a UNICEF and a Roll Back Malaria Goodwill Ambassador has just been amazing, because really that enhances all the work that I do. Now, when I go to Copenhagen or go to, next week I'm going to Washington, I get invited as the Princess of Africa Foundation, you know, as the president of the Princess of Africa Foundation. So I've got different partners from Results and Action Group, you know, from Canada, from Japan. Over the weekend, I'm going to Japan with the Japanese government people to go and give shoes to some people who've got some funny sicknesses called Zika. It's rotten feet from not having shoes. So I was in Japan in March and I met the government people. And one of our partners who partnered with the Princess of Africa Foundation, Results Japan, they collected 5,000 shoes. So we're going to distribute them in Kenya.
Wow. These people have rotten feet. Tell me how that works.
Apparently it's from water, Gareth. Dirty water, you know.
Yeah.
And their feet just rot. It's in Kisumu. God. And it's just so, so sad. When I saw that, I thought, you know, we take so much for granted.
Wow. You're getting involved in a lot of things. So I was saying, when I saw you get that UN award, I think it was probably one of the first ones, there was a video, and you go to these villages that are in the middle of nowhere, far from anywhere. It's not like it's close to where you're performing or where the airport is or the five-star hotels. You're out in these villages with people who don't have anything. And you supply them with nets and you give them some education and you have people with you help out. You do the medication, the prophylaxis, as you mentioned, the spraying, all that kind of thing. And who knows how many people you've helped, how many children's lives you might have saved and all the rest. But it really can be arduous. Like, you have to go through places where the roads don't work.
it's actually daunting, Karen. Yeah. I mean, I go to places where I think, I mean, several times, you know, it just makes me laugh sometimes. You know, you go and because I've got people who go before me and they do all these things, you know, they do the recce for me. Uh-huh. And they'd say, Yvonne Chaka Chaka is coming. And you see these people say, ah, are you mad? Do you think he can come to people like us? Who is she? She can't come here, you know. And sometimes I'm standing there and, you know, I mean, I've got different faces. People don't know me. And today, after this, I'm going to cut my dreadlocks.
What are you going to do? Just going short again?
Yeah, I want afro. You know, I want to be like Sia.
Nice. Oh.
So I go there and people are like, where here Chaka Chaka is going to be coming here? Do you know her? I'm like, I don't know her, do you? You know? And they said, do you think he can come here to people like us? She sings. I hear she sings that song, Komboti. And you know, I go
they know
there.
Komboti there.
I must say, I mean, songs like, thank you, Mr. DJ. Those people know them. And this is in the rural areas, Gary.
You know what I was listening to the other day? I'm burning up.
Oh, I'm burning up.
Heart
yes. You know I love that song.
Can you imagine? Those songs were written by white man. Artie Van Wyk.
Artie. Yeah,
yeah. He's still smart man.
I remember I was in his office in Cape Town once, and he still very proudly has one or two of your
he's gold amazing. I
records.
Mean, that girl, you know, and you know who I see a lot? Phil Hollis, the man who
really?
Found me. Yeah. Phil Hollis. Phil
didn't
Hollis.
It all started on Shell Road to Fame or something.
No,
didn't
I never did one of those, darling.
No, but there was something where yeah. they. You were already discovered, but then they put you on one of those shows.
No, there was a show, well, you know, when TV started in 1981, all of you were not born.
No.
And TV in South Africa started in 1976. Mm. And in 1981, SABC 2. Mm. But between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock, there was nothing. It was just cartoons. Heidi. And it was cartoon. And Heidi would climb up the mountain and Heidi would be crying. And that's all that was there. And this guy, wherever he is, Bernard Joffe.
Yeah?
I want to honor that man.
What did he do?
That guy was just amazing. That guy was ahead of his time. He did a talent research for young people in Soweto Knockout. Yeah. Not in town. He went out to Soweto to look for talented children who could read, who could dance, who could sing, and put them on television. The man was amazing. And you know what? I think when he packaged everything, he liked me. And yeah. I became the first one. I'm not sure if it was Sugar Shack or Abangobi, but he had two seasons. And he paid me 500 rands. I was richer than my mother.
I remember the story of your mom, and I've met your whole family. I met your sisters, and there was a really beautiful moment at your 50th birthday. And I was at your 40th birthday.
Yes, oh gosh, we come along.
It's too long, Machaga. But both your sisters told beautiful stories of how you were and what a character you were growing up and how you were always destined to be a star. And the story of your mother being a domestic worker, you've told us that story before, and how you grew up in the servants' quarters, but you always knew you were destined for more.
You know, for me, it was, why am I in this small room? Mm. But Pat, my white mother, you know, my mother's madam, I thought, if Louise and Vivian are going to call you mom, why am I not going to call you mom? Mm. You know, and I used to get angry when they called my mother Sophie. They'd go, Sophie. And so we'll end up calling her Sophie and call Pat mom as well. But it was okay, you know, to have a nice... Hey,
we have a complicated history in this country.
This history is just terrible. But you know what really angered me? It's when we were driving from Unified Station going up to number 82, the highway street, which is where we lived. These young white boys will sit there and they'll be laughing. They'll open for their dogs and the dogs will chase us. They'll have caterpillars, gaiety, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You'll be walking there and you'll just hear a rock, you know, hitting
your head.
And they'll laugh and you could not report that. You're black. What do you want in town? So we've got a very complicated history, Gareth. I must say, I grew up hating. I grew up with hate. The only white people I liked was my madam. I didn't even like the bus. Didn't like Philip.
No, but I remember we had this conversation the last time you were in here, and you said a few interesting things that I think a lot of people have, because we forget that's not so long ago, and there's still a lot of stuff we haven't dealt with.
I think we as South Africans, particularly black South Africans, we very easy we forgive. I don't think we do forget. I mean, the things that has happened to us were just terrible. I've got 3 dog bites on my body because the dogs were set on me because of the color of my skin. You know, on my new CD that I've just finished recording, and 2 tracks were mixed at Metropolis Studios in London. This is, gosh, they made me pay so much money. This is where Adele works. Many and the people there, they just, sure. But they mix the songs too white, Gareth. You know, they go, da, 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 you know. So Temba didn't like them. You know, we thought, okay, we'll just change.
So did you remix them here?
We tried, you know, okay. we tried, but I liked the one, Pardon Me, which they did. I mean, they did a very good job. But, you know, so most of my music comes from my experience, how I grew up, what I encountered, and the people around me. And, you know, I used to ask Madam one thing. Do white people have their own oxygen? Because, you know, when you're young, you're told, you know, you breathe oxygen. And so I thought, you know, white people have got their own oxygen that they breathe, and black people have got their own oxygen. And I just could not, you know, you're young, you're 9, you want to know all these things. And you want to know, why is Louise and Vivian going to the school just across the road?
And I have to go
and
for miles.
I have to get into the Green Patco. You remember the Green, you were not born, you guys. The Green Patco and go to Soweto and then come back. I just could not understand. And Champet would try and explain to say, Yvonne, you know, the system, the regime, you're 9, you're 8. What is the bloody regime?
Stuff, yeah.
You know, I want to just go to St. Catherine just across the road here. And, you know, we've really come a long way. And I'm just so happy that, you know what, we lived to see South Africa transcending and we've got this freedom. My problem is that we are taking this freedom for granted. All of us, black, white, yellow, and purple, and the G's are doing that.
And we do forget, the Guptas. we forget
the G's.
You know, the massive, the incredible victories we have had. I mean, your 4 boys, you know, you must be very proud of them.
You know, as a mother of 4 boys, I look back and I say, I'm just so happy. I think God was smart to give me 4 boys because he knew that I'll be gallivanting all over the world, you know. And I'm very proud of my kids. I don't know what silly things do they do outside, but at home they know it's my Shai Katulosa. But, you know, I've met different people, you know, from Anelem daughter, and they say, you know, your boys are gentlemen. They're nice boys. I just hope they don't break girls' hearts, you know.
Well,
I'm not
might,
even sure
might.
If they've got boyfriends or girlfriends, whatever they have. I
they
don't
might
care.
Have. No, you don't mind. You're not judgmental.
No, I don't.
But the kind of life they have compared to the sort of life that you and your sisters had growing up,
you know,
it's very different.
I take my kids to number 82, the highway, where we grew up, and I say, I grew up in this yard because the house is still there, you know. Old house, and I say I grew up in this yard, and they love, particularly Mfumo, you know, the black one. He's so dark, yeah. He's the darkest of them all. You know, they always said to him, "Ooh, mommy got you from the DRC when I'm from when he was young," and he'll cry. And his name is from the DRC anyway. Yeah. Mufumu. They Mufumu. Like him. They go, Mufumu. I say, those are your brothers, you know. So, but you know, it's we can't be remote parents as well.
Yeah,
and we have to teach our kids. I mean, my kids have got friends from Indians, from coloreds, from white, black. So, you know, this whole integration. And we need to teach our kids. And we have to make sure that our kids are not taking freedom for granted. For me, that is that.
And all of them have a good sense of humor, which I think they get from you and from their father. How's Tiny doing? Is he still running that practice?
Yeah, Tiny's working at in Bryanston. Is it NHC? Yeah.
For years and years and years, he ran his Soweto practice.
Yes.
He would go there every day.
He loved it. I must say, you know, thank you to those people because they really paid my kids' school fees.
Yeah, but he used to work. He'd wake up early in the morning, go off, run the clinic.
Yeah, Tiny was a very good doctor. I mean, I found him as a patient as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he fell in love with you.
And I thought I was sick and I was healed in a minute. And I thought, this is the man I want.
You met this good-looking doctor. Yes.
He really was. He really was.
Everybody thought, who is this guy going to marry? And he married a star.
He had big hair and, you know, and clean, smart. And his surgery was amazing. You know, so I wish all doctors could be like that. But, you know, we do have. And he loved his people. Tiny's a very good doctor. I don't think he's a good businessman. You know, he's a very good doctor.
You're a pretty impressive businesswoman.
You know, I try. You know,
you've run a lot of different businesses, varied things that don't have anything to do with show business necessarily.
No, because I've always said I don't want to be. I don't
want to work. Air conditioning, all kinds of stuff.
I do not want to. I did not want to work as a domestic worker like my mother. Mm. And thanks to her, and bless her soul, you know, my mother played Fuffy in China to augment her salary to take us to school. And I've got so much respect for that woman because she did not want to prostitute us.
Yeah.
She made sure that she gives us what we needed, not what we wanted. And I look back and I say, I'm a woman that I am because my mother guarded us, protected us, and loved us. I wish all parents can do the same.
What kind of things do you think we need to do to fix this country in places where it's not working? Like what sort of stuff should young people be thinking about? You mentioned how we shouldn't take our freedom for granted, but what else can we
do? There's so many things that are loose, you know. I'd like to see the playing field being leveled for our children. I'd like to see an enabling environment for everybody. I mean, for anybody to come and invest in a country, they want to see stability.
Mm.
So I want our young people to take it upon themselves and say, we want to build the Africa that we want. You know, look at yourself in the mirror, wake up in the morning and say, I want to be president. You know, that's another project I've been trying to do. Nobody wants to give me money for it. But I believe in the young people because, you know, it was the ANC Youth League that stood up and fought for us. You know, as young people, they had a vision then. So young people today, the avenues are open for them. It's actually sad when you hear young people saying, I've got a degree, I've got a master's, but I can't find a job.
Yeah.
Why is that? And we should not be lowering standards because our people, our children in South Africa have to compete with the rest of the world.
Mm.
So give them the best. You know, and I just believe in all black and white children to working together. There's a lot that we need to fix. You know, you need to respect me. I need to respect you. We need to learn from one another. Those who've got the skills, impart your knowledge to others.
Mm.
And I think we need to make sure that we do things for ourselves. I get so angry when I see buildings dilapidating. Why is that? I get so angry when I see the dirt out there. Who should clean up for you? My kids know. You wake up in the morning, you bloody clean your room. Because nobody's going to clean up for you.
No, you were a very strict mother.
You know, so it's all those things that we take for granted that somebody owes me or somebody must do this for me. We can't. We need to do things for ourselves. This is our country and we must build it.
Ma, how do we not take things for granted, though, when this is all we know? You know, they often call us the generation who doesn't have a fight.
You are not a lost generation.
You know?
Definitely not. You know, the fight that was there, you know, the problems that you guys have are totally different from from the problems that we had.
Mm.
You've gone to the same schools with Gareth and James and everybody. You've sat in one class. And so your problems are almost the same, you know. And you really need to know that if Gareth comes from a rich family or you come from a rich family, what do we do to meet each other halfway?
Mm.
You know, and we need to learn
and
from
do something for
another.
Those kids who don't have anything,
you know, and there are those kids who have absolutely nothing, but you know what, we need not judge them because they didn't put themselves in that situation.
Mm.
They want to get out. I was in that situation and I said, my mother, okay, I find myself in this situation, it's not my mother's fault. But I have to work very hard and get myself out of this situation. I didn't sit there and blame my mother, blame the madam, blame the teachers. I said, what will make me a better person? I must acquire as much knowledge. I must go and get myself with people who know, people who can give me a helping hand, not give me a handout, but give me a hand up to be a better person.
And that's what you're doing all over the continent. And this is why people love you so much. I mean, they really do love you everywhere and they know you everywhere in Africa. East Coast, West Coast, DRC.
I love Africa too.
It's amazing, right?
I love Africa. This is my continent. I have one passport, Gareth. South African, but I am an African. Just like Thabo Mbeki. He's an African.
Yeah. But you know all these presidents as well. So.
And they know me.
They know you. So who are your favorite ones? Who are the fun ones to spend time around?
All of them. All of them. All of them, I must say, from President Mugabe to President Kagame. I mean, have you been to Rwanda, Gareth?
I would love to go. I hear Rwanda is
okay,
the place.
Okay, I need to take you to Rwanda.
Apparently, it is just burgeoning at the
clean.
Moment. Yeah.
They've just built, I was there 3 months, 2 months ago. They've put in this beautiful convention center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things are happening there. You can see that people who had the genocide and suffered and now, you know, they They want peace. All they want is peace. I know other people call President Kagame a dictator and this and that. We all have our problems and we all have our shortcomings. But, you know, what is freedom?
Everybody's talking about how Rwanda is like setting an example for a whole lot of people.
It is the cleanest country in the world.
Yeah.
It's the safest country in the world. You go to Rwanda and you go to a club. Mm. You leave your purse there and your cell phone. You go dancing floor and you dance. You come back, you find it there. Not in South Africa where they actually ask for it. Hey, letter. Mm. Mm. You know, so it's things like that. You know, you want to live and not even always look over your shoulder.
Mm.
And I don't know why is that happening, you know?
Yeah, we've got lots to do. We've got a long way to go. Tanzania's fun. You like going there?
Yeah, I like Tanzania. I know President Kikwete, you know. I know him very well.
These people like meet you at the airport, yeah, but, like visiting royalty.
I have not met John Makafula.
Oh yeah,
that's the new president.
You haven't met him?
No, I haven't. I've been telling him on social media I want to meet him.
Okay,
you know he cleans the apparently came with an oomph, you know, and that's what we need. That's what we need. I mean, in Rwanda, President Kagame, first week of the month, they go and clean up the streets.
Apparently, everybody has to clean
around
up. Yeah.
Everybody, including him. So you know what? He leads from the front.
Yeah, we should do something like that every month. We just have one day where everybody goes out and tidies
up. So you and I are going to start it.
Let's do it.
We start in town.
Let's do it.
We start in town. We call Herman Mashaba.
Ne? Yeah.
And he must clean up as well.
Yeah.
And we do that. You
know
what?
He must put on overalls and we'll do it with you.
We must do it. You know, I've been to, I was in London the other day. I was so angry. And this friend, well, he's not even a friend. We're walking in town and this guy was throwing up the papers, you know. And my friend,
into the street.
Yeah. In fact, it was a banana and he threw it. And my friend turned around and looked at him and said, why are you doing that? He said, oh, well, this is not my country. This is not my country.
And he throws down the banana
and
peel.
I was very upset. And, you know, it's that attitude. We don't, if it's not your country, what do you want here? Huh? Go back to your country there.
Yeah, we've got to have pride in ourselves.
We have to. You know, for me, it's cleanliness. It's easy as that.
Because if you don't, cleanliness, if you want other people to treat you with dignity, you should treat yourself with that,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. You know, that's what my mother taught me. Love yourself first so that people can love you and respect you. It all starts with you. If you think you're going to just throw things there and you know, sometimes you don't do things because you want people to see you. Do it because it's the right thing to do.
When no one's looking.
No, exactly. When no one is looking.
What's on your agenda now? You seem to have done what most people wouldn't even have achieved in 3 or 4 lifetimes. You've done amazing humanitarian work, which you've been honored for just recently. You've done all the things you could in music. You've performed all over the world. You've had hits everywhere. You've got 4 amazing kids, which is incredible for a woman who's already done all the other stuff I've mentioned. And people all over Africa know and love you. I mean, you could be, you know, you say Princess of Africa, but I think Queen of Africa is probably about right now.
Maybe when I'm 60, Gareth, now I'm 52. I still want to feel like a princess.
Sure.
Some have been calling me a queen. You know what was nice? Just when I received my award in LA, I had all these Americans coming for a picture. And I thought, okay, now I feel like Jay-Z. As well, you know? And they were taking pictures. But there was just this 2 young people who were repeating my speech, you know. And just and I was like, did you tape that? Or and they were asking me, are you famous? Who are you? Are you the queen? Do you own Africa? And, you know, because Americans are Americans and they're like that. I'm like, yeah.
They don't know anything about it, so you just tell them.
You know, but it was just so, so humbling, you know, to see that. But you know what? God has been amazing to me, Gareth, and I can never stop thanking him. I can never stop thanking God for the love that he's given me and just the oxygen that he's borrowed me, you know, because he can take it like that. So just go out and
do
black
oxygen or the white oxygen?
My oxygen. I don't care whether it's black or white.
And what else do you want to do, Machaka? I mean,
I've just finished recording. We've been in the studio with Temba. The single called Keep Looking at Me. It's going to be released this Friday. And 4 weeks ago, before I went to LA, I went to Namibia. Last year, I was in Namibia as a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador for the Day of an African Child. And it was so amazing. I saw these little, well, they were not little, they looked little. And they were singing the song, Kulila Momondesa, Kulila Momondesa, Kulila Momondesa, Kulila. And I looked and I thought, what about, they were singing like angels. And it turned out that it's kids from Sunshine Home. Uh-huh. They were dyslexic. They were just not, you know. And for me, I thought disability should not mean inability. And I said to UNICEF, I'd like to record that song with these kids. And
wow.
Recorded the song with the kids. I went to Namibia, and thank you to UNICEF Namibia. They paid for the video. We shot the video with those kids. I mean, they sing like angels.
When you do all this stuff, how much time do you get for yourself? I mean, do you ever get time off?
You know, I'm me. My body is with me. My soul is with me. My oxygen is with me. So wherever I go, I'm happy. You know, I'm like the guy who said, everywhere I lay my head, that's my home.
Do you miss the family when you're doing all this traveling?
I do. I do miss my family. I think of their safety. I think of them being okay. And I call every time when I'm away from home. But I love my husband. I love my children. I love the people who are at home, Thomas and Gemas, you know.
Do they ever get to travel with you?
And yeah, I travel with them. I travel with Mandla. I travel with Temba a lot. The person who doesn't travel with me since he was a baby is Ningi. You know, he's a big boy and he's working anyway. But I do travel with Tiny. I travel with my kids. You know when that final curtain closes down, Gareth, who do you need? Your family.
Mm.
Yeah.
And they support you every step
so
of the
much.
Way.
You know the song that is called Keep Looking at Me? Where's the song?
I'm going to play it. I've got it here.
Keep Looking at Me. I want you to listen to the words. It says, right. Keep looking at me. I love the way you do the things that you do, and I love the way you make me do the things that I want. It's for Tiny. It's for people who've loved me, supported me, and let me do everything that I want to do.
Listen to this song. So he produced this?
Temba did.
Temba.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I like this a lot. So it's being released on Friday.
Yes, on Friday. Just looking at me. Don't look anywhere, Tiny. Yes. Just look at me. Doesn't
special
matter.
Sneak preview.
Yes, yes. It's a scoop for you guys.
This might be the first time it's been heard.
Yes, it is.
All right, very
exclusive.
Nice.
Exclusive.
All right, so Machaka, what should Sia do with his life?
Yeah. I need the therapy now.
Yes. He's on the right track. He's on the right track, and he's, you know, here.
Mm.
This is a great incubation space. Mm. When you have Rina, Gareth, and just, you know, when you breathe the same air with those people, you're in the right space, girls and boys.
You know, because that's why I was asking the question. You know, a lot of my peers, my friends, and we realize and recognize how amazingly fortunate and blessed we are, you know, to have been born. I always say I was born at the right time. To be born in 1995. Nothing of, you know, what has happened in 94. We might
know
Yvonne feel
was,
it in some...
Do you know Yvonne was the first black child on television?
Well, with that, that's why... That Bernard Joffe. Mm. That Bernard Joffe. He was just
old
amazing. I was 12 or 13.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so I do think we need to be able to take our freedom, you know, understand what an amazing right it is to be free. And how we now need to take it a step further. I think we're very okay where we are, but we aren't making the change.
I'm glad
we
you
need to
think
be.
Like that, and to be given this platform.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I even went to the SABC, then you know we were standing outside as black people. We were standing outside by the on the other side of the road. You know, it was all these men with grey shoes.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
The worms.
But, you know, really for me, it's you guys have got everything.
Mm.
You've got absolutely everything. So you have to make do with this. I know things are not as glossy as you expect them to be.
Mm-hmm.
But take it upon yourselves and say, you know what? We've come a long way.
Machaka, are you still teaching literacy to adults?
No, not anymore.
But you used to do that. You spent a lot of time...
I loved it. I did it in Alex.
Yeah. Now, I mean, this is a thing that we've got to do in South Africa because you're never too old to learn. And a lot of parents might not have access to the education their kids have because of the past. And it's a great thing for them to be able to learn at any age.
I really think it is, really. Yeah. You know, because I went to another radio station a couple of, I think 3 years ago, and I was feeling so bad that this pretty girl who has not been going to school, her parents have brought her to Joburg to come to school, but she was not going to school. She was having a sugar daddy paying for her apartment, her cars and everything. And the radio announcer was asking this girl to say, but is that all right? And he said, you know what, for me, it's a transaction. My parents can't read, can't write, so it's okay. I'll finish when I finish. I just really was taken aback. Why do we do that to our parents? Why do we even do that to ourselves? But you know what? People do what they want to do, and they are at liberty to do whatever they want. But I really think education liberates you. When you can read and write. You know, when I used to teach, Gareth, I would see these guys. In fact, the first person who gave me my contract was Ayanda Dlodlo.
Really?
She worked for Telkom then.
Yeah.
And I had this company called Siatutuka and would go to Telkom and teach these fathers. And this old man one day came to me and said, look, I've written a letter to my wife.
Because First of time.
You know. And I just had tears. I would used to take them to the ATMs and actually show them. Because they would say to me, they go to the bank and maybe they want to withdraw 500 rands or whatever because they can't read and write. And they put their thumb and somebody withdraws 2,000 rands and give them 500 rands. You know, so all those things.
Being taken advantage
of. Yeah, taken advantage of. And why do we do that to our people? So for me, education is the most important thing. You know, when I travel all over the world and do everything, I always say there's no help, there's no wealth without health and education. When you are educated, you are able to contribute to your society. You are able to do things for yourself. When you are healthy, I mean, what are the best resources for any country? It's healthy people and educated and skilled people.
Speaking of that, you are involved in the CEO sleep out this year?
Yes, unfortunately, I'm not going to be sleeping outside, you know.
It's beneath you anyway. I mean,
well, you know, I've been sleeping outside for a long time. So you guys with money must go and sleep outside and feel the cold. But I think it's a great initiative. You know, Yusuf Abramji is just an amazing man.
Yeah, but he can talk anyone into anything.
He never stops saying anything. You know, he can sell you ice in Iceland.
Hello, Matt Yvonne.
How are you?
Hello, Matt Yvonne. You want to come with us to the CEO sleep?
Yusuf is just an amazing guy. So I think really it's for a good cause. You know, it should be done. And I think there's different ways and very innovative ways of raising funds. And it's just amazing that people are willing to brave the cold and go and sleep outside there and do things for others.
Are you still an ambassador for UNISA?
You know, these people don't give you a letter to say, thank you, we've had enough of you.
So you imagine that you still are, you're not sure.
I wonder, yeah. I mean, that's my alma mater, you know, that's where I did my, you know, sometimes, it's very funny, sometimes when I do my CV, people don't know what qualifications do I have, you know, because I think I was scared that I would fail because I failed when I was trying to study law. So I thought, okay, let me do a certificate in adult education. And then I did a higher diploma and they credited me into a degree because I didn't think I would finish my degree, you know. And then I did my business management. And you know what was nice was when I did my public speaking with Trinity College of London,
yeah,
with Tandy Brewer's mother, Fiona Fraser. But those British, I couldn't even hear. Well, good morning. I'm like, pardon me? excuse me? And but, you know, it's just so good when you're able to do things for yourself. Yeah, but, you know, my first test, I got 65 and with a fail at the bottom because you have to get 75 when I did my LT, my licentiate.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you still want to do public health maybe as a PhD?
Definitely want to do that with Harvard. I've been talking to different professors at Harvard. Thank God when I travel all over and doing all these things, I meet these people. And I think this is what I want to do because that's what I've really been doing. And, you know, healthy living, just knowing yourself and just because we are what we eat. So, yeah, I'd really want to do that.
And the Princess of Africa Foundation is obviously at the center of all of this.
Yes.
Is it something that ordinary people can support? Is it something we can get involved in?
Yes. Lots of heads, lots of people, you know, because the Princess of Africa Foundation, it shouldn't be Yvonne. It should live beyond that. So, you know, you go to our website, you email us on yvonne@princessofafrica.co.za. You go to the Princess of Africa Foundation website. We need lots of people. We need to be working with different people because there's a lot that needs to be done.
I remember you, Madiba loved you.
I loved him too.
He used to love, he always wanted to hear your music.
I really loved him. I mean, Madiba was just an amazing man. Madiba, if he met Gareth, you think it's just you in that space. If he met Sia,
he makes you feel like you're the most important person
exactly.
in the world.
Exactly. He was just an amazing man. Amazing man. That's how I recorded that song. My last album was called Amazing Man, and it was dedicated to him. Well, and all those other presidents.
But you've got along with all of them. I mean, you're smart enough to know that these people will come and go, but you need to do work with them, and they can help you with your foundation. They can help you with the good work that you do. And obviously, you get along with some of them better than others, but that's your business.
It's very important. I mean, even at home, even with relatives, there are relatives that you like. There are those that,
absolutely.
You know. So for me, you just do what is right.
Mm-hmm.
And just continue working.
But I suppose with Thabo Mbeki as well, he had a love for Africa and for the rest of this continent that you share with him.
I think he is a great president. You know, for me, there's no ex-president.
Oh.
Once you're a president, you always remain a president.
People have to keep calling you Mr. President,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, there are those presidents who really love this continent. You know what my problem is, Gareth? It's after 51 years, Africa is still being called a developing space. Why? What have we done wrong? You know, what our colonizers did to us, we should have built on that and showed them that, you know, you build this out of our sweat, out of raping us and raping our resources from us. And we're going to show you and continue to do this. And all these resources must benefit all those who live in this beautiful continent. But unfortunately, we don't. Some take them and actually take these very same resources and go and invest them with their masters there. Mm. And we shouldn't be proud of that.
I think that there are lots of challenges here. I mean, obviously. But, you know, we conquer them one at a time. Hopefully things are going to get better and not worse.
Well, I hope they will get better. I think they should. You know what? I don't know. I think even during Jesus' time, there were problems. So what do you think? I mean, some had gold, some had platinum, some had silver, and, you know, David.
Some had nothing.
Yeah, some had nothing. Some had leprosy. So problems will always be there. This is how it is. I mean, nothing's going to come back like manna from heaven. It came once and it's never going to come back. But you know what? The world is burning.
And you're feeling good at just over 50 years old.
I'm 52 years old, and right. I'm just, I feel so good. You know, people always say, why do you like telling your age? I like, you know what? I travel all over Africa. I see children dying under 2.
Mm.
I see women sometimes who look 45 and they look 150, you know. So I'm happy, you know. I'm happy
You're healthy?
To be alive. You know, I'm happy to be alive. And for me, it's those children who want to live and cannot, not because of problems or because they're just helpless.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm happy I'm alive. I'm happy I'm healthy. I'm healthy. I can do all the work that I do.
Yeah, I think it's important that you said earlier, don't take your health for granted. Because if you've got health, everything else is going to be okay.
You can't buy health.
You can figure out the rest, right?
You can't buy health. You know, you can. I mean, I've seen friends who had cancer and things like that and just fighting for their lives, you know, going for chemo, paying for this. And you know what? At the end of the day, they don't even have the money now to pay for everything and they die. I mean, look at the guy who, the Apple guy.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah. He had everything, but he couldn't save his life.
But we do have a lot of legends who are, you know, they've reached a point where they're not healthy anymore. I mean, I heard Ray Phiri is not very well at the moment.
Yeah, Ray is not well. And I spoke to Thuli, the daughter, 2 days ago.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's not that he's dying. No, he's just not well. But he's going to be okay.
And old Johnny Clegg,
Yeah, you know? Johnny, you know, but Johnny's a strong man. I mean, Skay is amazing. He sent me a text and said, Mfowethu, we are Zinyabonga, man, go to tell him a BET. You know, Johnny's a black man.
Does he speak Zulu to you only?
We only speak Zulu with Skay. I call him Skay. I mean, when I'm with Johnny, I don't even think of an English word. Oh, I mean, Mfowethu, kunjani? Oh, ngikhona kwesibali, kunjani? He's just such an amazing man. So, you know what? These are heroes. These are the people who've put South Africa on the map, world map. And you know what? Yeah, it's sad when you hear somebody is not healthy, is not well. Mm. And our prayers go to them and their families.
Well, I hope we have you for another 100 years and you get to 150.
Get out. Then I'm going to look like a dinosaur. No.
You'll probably still look better than the other 150-year-olds.
I don't know about
but,
that.
But congratulations on your award.
Another
reason to celebrate you as a daughter of our soil and as the princess of Africa. Mm-hmm. And Machaka, I hope we will see you again very, very soon. Lots of love.
Thank you for having me and thank you for doing what you're doing for these young kids of mine. I love them very much. And just thank you for being a naughty Gareth and a very smart boy. And
silly, not stupid. Yeah.
No, yes. No. Silly, not stupid. Yeah. Gareth is clever.
Machaka still, she will phone me and tell me if I'm not...
I know.
Put you in line.
Sure.
I do. Yeah. I put him in
She's
line.
Not
but
scared to tell
he's
me.
Such an amazing boy. We still have our date to go to Zimbabwe.
When?
To go to Zimbabwe.
Meet Bob. Before yes. because he's old now, 93.
We have to go and meet Bob. We have to go and meet President Kagame.
Yvonne is going to organize for me to interview Bob.
I'm going to. Mm. I love that man. Something.
I know him. You love him. A lot of people, I'm intrigued by him. You know
I
this.
Really, you know, he's the most educated president.
I know.
7 degrees.
But he does fall asleep now quite a lot.
Yeah, but he speaks English better than the Queen.
But he does fall asleep now.
When he's awake.
He's a very old man now.
He speaks English better than the Queen.
Don't bring your judgment calls here.
They must just
take your England, Blair.
And I'll take my Zimbabwe.
My Yvonne Chaka Chaka. Always good to catch up. And have a lovely, lovely day. Love to all the children, to Tiny.
Thank you for having me.
And congrats. Another amazing accomplishment. They just keep on coming with you. There's never an end to the things that you achieve. And
LG.
That you bring to us.
LG. Life's good.
Damn right. All right, that's where we're going to leave it, everybody. Have an excellent day, and make sure you stick to cliffcentral.com for today. There's plenty of good stuff coming up. Sia, we've got the laws of life. Mm-hmm. We've got the good stuff. We've mm-hmm. got plenty. T-Systems coming up just now.
Yeah, kicking it off with Disrupt with Mpumi Nhlapo. Mm-hmm. And a whole day of programming, as usual, with the good stuff, Opinion Booth with Sonia Booth, the laws of life, the Daily Maverick Show, Beyond Ears and Eyes, and the Renegade Report as well.
Very nice. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9. Thank you, Machaka. Party girls, don't get hurt, can't feel
anything. When will I learn? I push it. This is CliffCentral.com.